Foreign governments, unlike some of their people, generally are keeping officially silent about which candidate they'd like in the White House next January. But we asked our correspondents in Russia, Western Europe, and China to find out who's preferred in those strategically important parts of the world. First, we go to Mary Kay Magstad in Beijing.
A Chinese foreign ministry spokesman refused to be drawn today when I asked what it would mean to him if an African American were elected president of the United States. China's Communist Party has long criticized the United States as being racist, a place where African Americans couldn't succeed. On the streets, many Chinese are excited about Barack Obama. They like that he's black, that he's young, and different from the usual American politicians they see. Among ordinary Chinese, it's hard to find any flat-out supporters of John McCain. But some Chinese academics say McCain might be better for China. One reason, they say, Obama is signaling that he might go protectionist and interfere with trade. He's also said he'll use all diplomatic measures possible to stop China from keeping its currency cheap. Some say Obama will pose a challenge of a different kind. They say McCain has pledged to continue many of the policies of President Bush, including the war in Iraq, and that will keep the United States distracted from China's growing influence in Asia, Africa, and other parts of the world. Obama has pledged to end the war in Iraq and rebuild international goodwill toward the United States. In other words, his administration would be more competition for China in terms of global soft power. There's yet another strain of opinion about the U.S. election, and it's one that's not often discussed publicly. A strain of racism lurks in China at least as much as in the United States. And despite the respect given here to the likes of Colin Powell and Condoleezza Rice, the idea of an African-American president still jars some Chinese, particularly those of a certain age. I recently asked one such official at a dinner who he wanted to see as the next U.S. president. He said, "I liked Hillary." I pointed out she wasn't on the ballot and asked who he preferred now. He paused, leaned over to me, and said, "I don't like black people." He'd spent time in Africa, and it wasn't a good experience for him. For The World, I'm Mary Kay Magstad in Beijing.
And I'm Jerry Haddon. The European Union already has sent mail to whomever Americans elect. The contents of that letter are still secret, but leaders have hinted at what it says. Bernard Kouchner, France's foreign minister, suggests Europe is counting on a total overhaul of the transatlantic relationship. He says, we'll turn towards our American friends, and I mean our American friends, not imperialist America. We think that something has changed over there, or will probably change, and that tomorrow's world will take note of the idea of bringing countries together to find common policies. Europe wants equal footing with any new U.S. administration on several issues, from Iraq to Afghanistan, in dealing with global warming and the global financial crisis. The six-page letter also suggests Europe should take a lead role where it considers it has more expertise, in dealing with Russia, for example. Going into today's vote, polls showed Barack Obama with a substantial lead over John McCain. That pleases the vast majority of Europeans who yearn for closer ties with America. But German newspaper editor Malte Leming says even if Obama does win, relations won't improve substantially. For example, he says both candidates have called for more troops in Afghanistan.
Very few politicians are making the case why German troops need to fight in Afghanistan. The majority of Germans want to pull troops out. So if it's Obama or McCain, both of them will try to strengthen troop strength in Afghanistan to win this war, to fight the Taliban, and this will not be in accordance with the majority of German opinions.
Leming blames European media in part for exaggerating the degree of change possible under an Obama presidency. The best response European leaders might get to their letter is a marked increase in goodwill out of Washington. For The World, I'm Jerry Haddon.
I'm Laura Lynch in Moscow. George W. Bush is running out of time to be the poster child for those who just don't like America. So on Sunday night, thousands of young people gathered quietly outside the U.S. Embassy here to start the long goodbye. Giant screens beam Bush's face out to the crowd. Taking a cue from Halloween, they lit candles inside carved pumpkins, topped them with a U.S. flag, and wrote on each the name of someone who they say was killed as a result of American policy. Events of the last year has served to drive a deep wedge into relations between the White House and the Kremlin. Kosovo's independence, efforts to bring former Soviet states into NATO, a deal to put missile defenses in Poland and the Czech Republic, and finally the war in Georgia kept driving the two countries further apart. Boris Makarenko of the Center for Political Technologies in Moscow believes Russia has a lot at stake in today's vote.
Russia believes it's still a key player. It thinks if it's no longer a superpower, it's one of the great powers. Russian-American relations were strained in the recent years, so whoever comes to succeed Mr. W., we'll have to build Russian-American relations, not from scratch, of course, but certainly he'll have to redefine it.
The redefining on this end may start as early as tomorrow. Russian President Dmitry Medvedev gives his first State of the Union speech in the afternoon, and it may contain the first hint of just how Russia plans to deal with the new man in the White House. For The World, I'm Laura Lynch in Moscow.